They don't have lots of money. They don't drive cool cars. They don't own their own businesses. They've never invented anything. And they're white. They are the most uninteresting man in the world.
Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peppers.
Pack of pickled peppers.
Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peppers.
If Peter Piper picked a pack of
peppers. When I was 13, I had my first love.
Nobody compared to my baby. Nobody came between us or could ever come above. She had me going crazy.
Okay. Feel pretty good about that one.
I do too.
Yeah. You know the whole thing though.
Good for you. I do. I used to do it at camp.
I know. You had to memorize it and change it and memorize it again.
No, I didn't change it. Wow. I just did it with a lisp.
Oh, really? I thought you guys changed the lyrics for it.
Not that one. I changed other lyrics, but I did that one. I was like, when I was 13, I had my first love. There's nobody that compared to my baby. Nobody came between us that could ever come above.
You're terrible, Corey. You'd be canceled so hard right now in 2023.
Why?
You can't make fun of somebody's lisp.
I was never making fun of the person.
That's
when
true.
I did that character. Okay, listen, well, I defend that because when I did that character, I never was, the lisp was never the butt of the joke, and I didn't purposely do bunch of stuff. It was just part of who
I
was.
And you know what? I will come to your defense as I already tore you down because I remember actually having those conversations when you did that of like, I don't want this to be the thing that people make fun of, and mm-hmm. you did a good job with it.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the most uninteresting men in the world.
Episode two
of
plus
the renewed
many others, yeah.
of our being back. I'm Corey.
I'm Colin.
I don't even think we introduced ourselves last time.
That's okay.
Yeah.
People who are listening knew who we were, so we can move on.
That's right. They knew who we are, and we're excited.
If you could change your name, what would you change it to?
You know, I almost tried to. We moved right before eighth grade, and I almost was going to regroup and go by my middle name, which is Chandler.
Chandler. Ooh, that would have been cool.
Which I thought was cool. Yeah.
Chandler, though, you would have had to pop your collar and stuff like that back in the 90s or the 2000s.
I didn't quite have the confidence to go through with it.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, friends would have thrown you off, though. Would you really have done it?
I don't think I knew friends. I didn't know much about friends yet. I hadn't watched friends because people would be like, Chandler Bing. And I was like, what are you talking about?
But if you were Chandler, the Lettes would have liked it.
Maybe.
They'd be like, I'm dating a Chandler.
Either that or they just would have thought it was goofy. I don't know. So
one of the two.
Yeah. Well, anyways, just so people know, you can find us on where all your podcasts are. Hopefully on Google. That was one we were trying to figure out.
We'll get it there. Don't worry.
We'll get there.
We got some rust to break.
We're on Instagram at the most uninteresting men and on Twitter at MUPcast.
Stop it. Don't even do it.
I actually did post on Twitter for our
rat. You said you weren't going to do it anymore, you addict.
But then it was there, so I just put it on there. Whatever. Anyways, but is there anywhere people won't find us
or
can't find us?
Truth Social.
You can't find us there.
Nope. You're not supposed to find us on Twitter either, Corey, but
you can.
You won't either find us on Twitter, Truth Social. Do you have to pay for that?
I have no idea. You probably won't find us, at least our podcast. You might find us, but our podcast at a concert of a Grateful Dead cover band.
You'll find us, though.
But maybe us.
We got to go next time. There's one coming up.
Let's do it.
We'll do it in honor of my father.
In honor of your father, of our dads. Perfect segue, actually. A couple things. Number one, it was Father's Day this weekend.
It was Father's Day.
We'll talk about that first. How was your Father's Day?
It was actually pretty good. Amy cooked up some ribs. I'm not much of a red meat kind of guy. Is it? Yeah, it's red meat. Yeah.
Sort of. It's pork. No, did you have pork or beef ribs?
No, we had pork.
Okay. I made baby back ribs myself.
Oh, Amy did an outstanding job. They were wonderful. Perfect temperature, perfect meatiness, right off the bone. Wonderful.
And did your kids make anything for you? Any of those kinds of things or just give you stuff?
They got me some fun gifts, and it was a different Father's Day, so you know, it was a little more kind of relaxed than usual. We'll get to that, but it was really good. It was really fun,
and we kind of
you asked. So my son made me some. You're gonna have to cut this part out because I'm thinking. My son made me some cornhole.
Oh.
Boxes.
Wow.
Yeah, you science them together and everything. I was very impressed.
Okay, that's
he used
awesome.
All his math and everything. It's even, and he did it from the ground up.
Wow.
And they're solid oak. So they're stupid heavy.
Perfect.
But I'm very proud
of them. They're solid. I got this picture from my family.
Oh, that's cute. I did notice
kind of
that.
A fun little frame, and Everett made me a couple of things from school. And then they got me some shirts and shorts and just took care of me. But we started our Father's Day weekend off with your father-in-law, Gary,
yep,
in the mountains, mountain biking.
Yes, we did.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so my father-in-law is a he's almost 70, and he is still living like he's 32. He'd beat both of us if he was at full strength. He just got back from Africa, and he's been kind of flying around, so his legs are a little weak. But yeah, we went mountain biking.
It was awesome. Hardcore. We did some. I got some video. I'm gonna post a little reel onto our deal. I took it, and mostly of you because you were actually kind of going for it a little bit. I was a little scared.
That makes me nervous though, because as I'm hitting jumps and stuff like that, I think I'm getting pretty high, but I'm sure I'm like,
yeah, not that high, but higher than I was for sure. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that was enjoyable. A good way to start the weekend. So yeah, obviously we had Father's Day and everything. I got together with my dad for a little bit on Saturday night, mm-hmm. which was really nice. And speaking of that, I know you posted on your Facebook. We haven't posted about it on ours yet, but I know that your dad recently passed away.
Yeah, my dad passed away on Tuesday.
Yeah. So how are you and your family and everybody doing?
That's a big question.
I know.
we're doing pretty well. So my dad is just a person who loves to move and just likes to go for it. And so he recently retired and just went hard. And that was really awesome. We were super proud of him and super excited that he had that time. So he went to Hawaii. He took my daughter to see Ringo Starr. He went on a big hike and he started swimming. He did 70 laps the week before. But we were also on kind of borrowed time, I guess would be the best way to say it. He had a big heart event 10 years ago, almost exactly, and had a pacemaker put in. And so, we think that, maybe the pacemaker just, he didn't get the battery replaced. Hmm. And so he just went to sleep and didn't wake up. So it was very peaceful. And we're just kind of going through that right now as a family and just kind of reliving. He was a great dad, great grandfather. And it's just been really fun to kind of reflect positively. And we're just so glad that, this event of his passing, he just didn't even know what happened, right? Yeah. He just like was tired, brushed his teeth, turned the radio on, turned on the fan and just went to sleep and didn't wake up. So.
Yeah, it's, when you called me and told me, obviously, our dads are very close in age. Yeah. And, I think we've shared a lot. We've both shared a lot of stories as we've connected and are growing up that feel just very similar in lots of ways, not only of our own experiences, but of our dads and things our dads do. And some of the funny, quirky things that we both would be like, we might have teased about, but we love and are very endearing. Right.
Yeah.
So, even as you shared, I feel... I don't know your dad very well. I didn't know your dad very well, but I felt like a closeness through you and through those stories.
Right.
So I was very, really, really bummed to hear about that, obviously. And, but I thought, and I'll just say too, it definitely was like an eye opener for myself of like, man, my dad is the same age. My dad has a pacemaker too. Mm-hmm. And has had lots of health up and downs, kind of that generation of just like kind of just push through and
yes, definitely
and stuff. So, certainly it made me think about my own dad a lot and love on him too. But, I thought it might be kind of cool if you're up for it I just love to hear like a couple memories or stories. I know you've probably been sharing those with your family and stuff. Like what are a couple that like, just stand out? Like I know your dad was into music. I know he was a great grandpa, what's something, that just stands out growing up or something that you just really loved about your dad?
My dad was a person who loved people. That was kind of his greatest love. He had just a plethora of hobbies that were specific and unique, and he mastered them, right? I mean, he loved to master his hobbies. So he was one of the first few people to hike the Pacific Crest Trail back in the 70s.
He did the whole thing?
In like sections, because he'd work, and then take the summers and do the chunks. But, he was having to like bushwhack through some of the trail because it was so, I think the trail opened in 76 or something like that. And he was in there like right at the beginning kind of thing.
Wow.
So that was really cool. He used to ride his bike from San Francisco to Eugene. He rode his bike from San Francisco to Spokane to see his brother play baseball. Like he didn't just ride his bike. Like he conquered what it meant to ride a bike. Right.
Yeah.
And he had this steel frame that was 50 pounds, but I mean, he just pushed. And then,
I love that.
Same with music. He was really, well regarded in our community with music and just a really kind person. I think the best story, cause I can go on, is, he was a person who really valued others and was a big volunteer and servant heart. And, one of the cool things I actually just learned gosh, a couple weeks ago when he was telling me, because I was asking him, hey, where's your original like acoustic guitar? Because anywhere he was in the house, he would come home from work and just kind of like pick up his guitar and just kind of strum around. And he had this old junky guitar. We were super poor growing up. And anyway, we asked, where was it? We haven't seen it in a long time. He's since moved on to like a fancy Taylor, and he's got his fancy Fenders and Gretsch and all these other things. Anyway, so we're like, where'd you put your guitar? I want to see it. And he's like, oh, I gave it away. We're like, well, you gave it away? He's like, yeah, I was just walking down. He was just walking down one day and just saw a houseless person just down on their luck. And my dad asked, do you play guitar? And the guy said, yeah. And he's like, well, hold on. So we went home, got his guitar, and just gave it to a guy. And I was like, dang it. That's such an awesome thing. Like, yeah. I'm so sad that I don't have that. But like, that was obviously a really important thing to him. But he noticed this guy down on his luck and just knew that that guy played guitar. And anyway, that was pretty awesome. He also just, on Christmas growing up, we would eat, you know, kind of early. And then all the leftovers, he would just bag up into like three plates. And then we'd just get in the car. I remember as a kid, like being so irritated. Like, we just want to be home. And he'd throw us in the car. And then we'd go find like some homeless guy and just give them like a warm Christmas meal. So those two stories like really exemplify kind of just who he was and how he valued people. He was a scoutmaster. He helped build some parks in our hometown. He was a big volunteer with like the high school and other things. So he loved being around human beings and loved to encourage them. So
I love that. And, cool guy. And actually when we were talking about the Grateful Dead, I recall when we last went to see a Grateful Dead jam band, we were talking about your dad and how he at that time was, you talked about a place that had open mics and he would just show up and and play or jump in with other bands.
Yeah, just jump in with other bands. Yeah.
I just, man, that sounds so
cool. He's so fun. Well, he played in a couple bands locally around here. They got kind of quite a following, you know, if you're a bunch of like middle-aged guys playing music and they were really fun and they were just playing covers. And they got pretty big amongst the 50 and 60 year old crowd. Anyway, he would go to like these shows and they're towards the end, they were getting like 100, 150 people showing up to these shows because they just had a lot of fun. And my dad would get paid, you know, like $150 or something for his part. But then he'd spend like $400 just on buying food for people. And he would get up and do like a stand-up routine that people loved. And he was just such a quirky guy that just really loved like parties and loved making people feel like having fun, you know, whether it's, again, like someone experiencing homelessness or someone who's just there, you know, and retired and drunk off their butts. Like, he just wanted people to have fun and just wanted people to really enjoy what they were doing in that moment.
Awesome. He was a loving, caring person. I think,
definitely.
Obviously, you know, many stories continue to come up, you know, so I hope we'll continue to share Dennis stories as we go on with these episodes.
As like this, the theme of this episode a little bit, as we talk about some music stuff in the future, like, it was so fun. Literally just 2-3 weeks ago, he took my daughter, who is 11, to her first like big concert. And they went and saw Ringo Starr together. You know, because Annie's a big Beatles fan, and that was just so awesome. Like, they have pictures, and he's just smiling the whole time, and Annie was loving it. And so I'm really glad that she got that memory and gets to have that forever. And I'm really glad that he got to experience that close to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Well, cheers.
Cheers to Dennis.
My friend.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, chink.
There it is.
Did you pick that one up?
Oh, yeah. It's on.
Perfect.
Well, I think that's also a good segue into a little bit of summer, thinking about summer, because I wanted to talk about a little bit of this summer, but also look back and do some nostalgic things. I think that's going to maybe be a little bit of a theme of ours at times.
When does summer start for you, like, as you think about it?
Well,
do you still base it off of a school year?
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, the school ending is like summer starting.
That's what summer is,
As long as kids are in school. I mean, obviously, I know technically it's...
Well, you're like a working stiff, so it doesn't matter to you.
No, but it feels different at home, you know, and it feels like just... I just love seasons. That's one of the things I love about Oregon. I mean, I lived in Colorado for a while, and it was like two seasons, and then it was summer and winter, and then fall and spring were just a battle between summer and winter. The whole fall and spring.
Gosh, coming from Puerto Rico, we only had one season.
And it was one season. So I love, you know, as it starts to change and all of a sudden it starts to get warm and hot and the longer days, like, regardless of whether I'm working or not, I just love it. So, and we do more vacations and things, but my kids, and I know you guys are home a bit more because you're working school, but Both Courtney and I will be working, but this year, both of our kids will be home the whole summer because we're not doing daycare for Everett. And, you know, he's 9 now and Chloe's 14. So, you know, I mean, I was younger and my sister, younger sister was younger than that when we were on our own for the summer. And I'm just ready for them to kind of have that like quintessential, I'm at home all summer for the most part. I'm going to get bored. I got to figure things out. Like, we're going to let them have some screen time and stuff, but I want them to have days when they just have to go outside and find stuff to do, you know, kind of like the Sandlot, like go and get in trouble a little bit, you know, like get a little, not hurt, but, you know, take some risks, you know, try some things. So that's my hope. But then it just kind of got me to thinking a little bit of like thinking back to when we were kids, we were bored a lot. I mean, we didn't have half the junk they have, you know, and so we had to get creative, and, you know, so I don't know about your kids if that'll be kind of the case a little bit this summer too, but
yeah, probably. I don't know. When do you think the last summer that you played with toys was?
Oh,
how old do you think you were?
I don't know. I mean, there was a point like probably like going into eighth grade where I really shifted to video games, you know, with Nintendo 64 and stuff. But probably before that, before eighth grade, like
that's the thing that I think changes a little bit is, you know, like my daughter doesn't play with toys as much anymore because same kind of thing. She's just like hunting for like whatever show she can watch or something like that. And kind of our theme for this summer a little bit is low risk, low reward kind of thing, right? Where we want our kids to take low risks over time, the things that are just kind of not dangerous or not that frustrating, but at the same time, kind of a little dangerous or going out on the limb a little bit. So that's kind of what we would push for our kids to do this summer.
Well, let's think back to our own summers. Okay. Like I think back to being bored, you know, put yourself back when you got super bored. You know, for days, you know, because it was days on end, right? Like initially the first like couple weeks, like, yes, it's summer. And then all of a sudden it's like a couple weeks, you're like, okay, now I'm bored. You know, what am I doing? And you and your friends or different things have to, you know, have to figure out stuff to do. But I could have plenty of memories of figuring out creative things to do to kind of solve that problem.
Right.
Sometimes. What were some really creative things that resulted or fun or weird or whatever things that resulted from being bored in the summer?
There were a couple summers when I was a kid. There were 21 kids that lived in our 7-house cul-de-sac. We just had kids everywhere. And there were two summers specifically when I was in 5th and 6th grade where we would build playhouses or like forts.
Yeah.
And so we had a fort up on the hill. There was like a construction. They moved these boulders and then we just built forts in the builders. We had boulders. We had little city. And then we had other forts. We built like a 2-story fort once in somebody's backyard. And then we built another one that like had a bunch of furniture in it. Like we went hard. And there were times I remember because there were two cul-de-sacs. And these were like really working class neighborhoods. And so there was a cul-de-sac kind of kitty corner from ours. And they had a bunch of kids too. And there was one summer where it was like greasers and gosh, what was the other bad or the other thing? Socias in The Outsiders.
Yeah.
So there were like, but we were all greasers because we were all poor. But their neighborhood would like come over to our neighborhood and then like wreck our forts.
Wow.
And like really like take turf hammers wars. and break our forts. And so then we would go over there and like, because one of the neighbor's backyards, one of our friends, they could get to a couple houses like with a hose, and so we just spray them, and like when they were out and like the little girls would be playing, we'd spray them, and then the brothers would come out like, hey, don't spray my sister, and we'd like soak them. And then there was one time where we had like an all-out fight, and the weapon of choice was just sticks.
Oh.
And so we were just throwing sticks at each other. And so I remember there was a kid named Chris Steiner. He was in my grade, but he lived in the other neighborhood, so he was the bad guy, and he came over, and I remember him coming over the fence and he was throwing pine cones and sticks. And then one of the older kids in our neighborhood, who was 14 at the time, grabbed Chris by the shirt and just like, seriously, like 80s Disney movie, just threw him over the fence. You know, it was like 8 feet off the ground or something.
Oh my gosh.
From the fort's like roof, and just was like yeeted him over the fence. It was hilarious. But yeah, I remember a lot of us getting in a lot of trouble. But our parents would just kind of like let it happen, right?
Yeah.
They were like, ah, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think VAC, that's awesome. I think forts, to me, forts are the pinnacle of
boredom. When did you build forts?
I had a friend. So I lived out in the country. Well, when I was really young, we lived down in California, and I lived in a neighborhood of the cul-de-sac. There, I recall, you know, riding bikes. I remember the sidewalk being so hot that you would burn your feet.
Oh, yeah.
I remember stubbing my toes all the time. Yep. I had a scooter I would ride and tie my shirt around my neck like a cape. And I remember having my BMX bike, and we would ride real fast and stick our toe in the front wheel so our back would pop up. I remember the kids, we kind of made up a bike race course on our street. Like we started up the driveway of one person's house on the end, like kind of like the ramp down, you know, like the BMX races.
Yeah.
And then you go over here and you turn here. And so it was just kind of like a made up, you knew the route.
Oh,
right?
I love it.
And so we didn't have like actual obstacles and stuff, but we knew, and you could ride, you could kick other people's tires and stuff. Like there was all these rules.
So good.
And I was, you know, I was like 5, 6 maybe. And so there was a couple like, you know, kids a couple years older and stuff that were always won. And we were, you know, that you looked up to, right? And but I just loved being a part of that. So I recall that. And we would do also wiffle ball in our cul-de-sac part, which was, you know, super fun. They had, this neighbor had a big hedge. So that was, of course, the Monster Green Wall.
Oh,
you
know, like
Boston. So that was my younger years. And then we moved to Oregon and we were in the country for a long time. And I recall going to a friend's house who had a trampoline and he had, you know, some land. And there we built a fort. And built a little tree house. And I mean, it was only a couple of us, so it was not super intricate, but it was something where we could go and kind of hide and get away.
Yeah.
And so I remember doing that at kind of every house, you know, I was until we moved back into the city. So yeah, that was fun. And then my sister, I have a younger sister, she's 4.5 years younger. We had a pond, and so we'd go down and, you know, catch salamanders and, you know, play, you know,
so good.
Make up games, do a lot of pretend stuff. And then we also had next door to us, these people had huge cows and a big Brahma bull. And my dad recalls that I, you know, at one point seeing me at the fence and I had gotten the bull to come up to the fence and I was like talking to it. I don't think I ever petted it, but I kind of was getting it to trust me. My dad was like, oh my God, that was of all the things I think about where my dad, you know, and parents weren't super worried about me. That was a moment where my dad was like, oh my gosh, you can get killed by this thing.
This is how you get gored.
But I had no, you know, I just spent like the summer trying to win over the trust of these, you know, black Angus cows and this Brahma bull.
You know, I just thought as you were talking about your bike story and you were talking about the sidewalks and stuff like that, I think that's, I've just decided right now, you're all listening, everybody, world premiere of my my kid's summer. They will get calloused feet.
Yes.
That's like a thing. I totally forgot about that until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Like I was barefoot all the time in the hot cement and you were like just running from one patch of white cement to the next.
So you'd like, see how long you could stand it. And of course, stub toes were all the time. Barefoot running
around. But I remember it was like even more comfortable because again, I'm wondering if yours was the same way, but probably because I just lived in a poor neighborhood. Nobody kept their grass up during the summer. It was all just dead, right?
Yeah.
Everybody had a lawn, but it was always dead. And I remember as a kid, like, wanting to be on the hot concrete more than the like
pokey
freezing
grass.
Yeah, the really super pokey grass. So I need to get my kids to get some calluses on their toes.
At the very least, we got to do that. Yeah, okay. So yeah, so those some fun things. I want to, what were some of the, you know, there was some dangerous things though.
Sure.
You know, you think back, like even we were talking about this the other day, but I think back to, you know, riding or walking on Highway 36 when I lived in Deadwood, or even when I lived out in Junction City, I'd walk. That's where my friend lived. He lived on Highway 36. So I would ride down and then ride out that, which is like a super busy highway. And I was like in fifth grade, you know.
For me, we had a hill behind our house that was like an 8% grade. And there was like a church on the hill. So we'd start up there and just skateboard down.
Yes.
And just bomb the hill.
Yeah.
And we get going pretty fast. And that was pretty stupid just because the hill, all the people in my neighborhood growing up in a small town had these massive trucks, right? Mm-hmm. And they just didn't stop because it was like a small town. Every stop sign was a yield sign kind of thing. So that was pretty stupid, actually, now that I think about it. But, you know, whatever. I remember inviting like our moms out sometime, like, hey, watch us bomb down the hill. And I think probably they had said like, no, because I'd rather not watch you die.
Yeah.
You know, like I'd rather hear about it later or something. But I remember doing that. And I remember also walking across I-5 in the middle of the night a lot because I would sneak out. In 7th and 8th grade, I would sneak out of my house a lot. And at night, not to be nefarious, but we would all meet. There'd be like four of us that would sneak out at night.
Yeah.
And then we'd meet up and just go buy like Mountain Dews because our moms wouldn't let us. I never stole any money or anything, but we just would go out to the AM/PM and go get Mountain Dew. And then we would walk across I-5 in the middle of the night. Because if we went over the bridge, which had lights on it, we would probably get picked up by the cop. His name was Officer Tolman. And he would like pick us up because there was a curfew for under 18.
Okay.
And I mean, I was in seventh grade, so I was 13 at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one time we got caught. I got in a lot of trouble for that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I can think of a couple and two different. So when we lived out on Butler Road up this hill,
okay,
you know, in Junction City, outside Junction City. And, one, I realized I used to build, we would take our old wagons and take the wheels off and get wood and kind of make our own little sled, kind of quote unquote go-kart sled type thing. And ride it down the hill, which is pretty busy road. Like, no, you know, just like ride it down and it flattens out before you get to the next one. So I did that. But at our property, my dad put up this rope swing, not over water or anything.
Okay.
But we had this hill and halfway down the hill was this huge tree with a big branch going across. And so he was able to get it tied. So you would walk up the top of the hill with the bottom of the rope and you would swing. But then at the bottom, because it was a big hill, you would literally, when you went out to your farthest, like you were like 35 feet off the ground
at the
bottom of it. And it just had a little loop at the bottom and a couple knots. And, you know, my sister would do it, who was like 8, 7, mm-hmm, and I was like 11, 12. And, you know, and we would do it when no one was around too. Like we would just go out there and do it. Me and my friends and my sister. And, you know, if we swung out and let go or whatever, I mean, we had a couple of close calls, but I just think back,
I get it.
Oh my gosh, we could have broke our neck so easily.
But you didn't.
No, but we didn't, luckily. And then...
Or maybe you did, and this is purgatory. It's just regular old life.
If this is purgatory, I'm okay with that. And then I think back to my mom lived in Newport Beach, California for a while, and would take my sister to the Boys and Girls Club and then leave me at home with like $5 for the day and be like, go to 7-Eleven. And so every day, literally, I would go to 7-Eleven, get Slurpees and stuff, but ride down the boardwalk of the beach.
That's awesome.
Go boogie boarding.
That is a cool memory.
But I was like in fifth grade, sixth grade, and I would just go out to the beach and go surf like by myself. Yeah, I mean, there's lifeguards and stuff there, but I remember, you know, riding way, 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 way down, you know, and back, and like just, I just think back again to like, I would never let my kids do most of the things that I did back then, especially that kind of stuff. And my kids are afraid. Chloe's afraid to ride down like a mile away. She's like, I can't ride on river.
Why
road.
Is I'm that scared. Though? It's not like we've told them no.
Have no, we? I'm telling her to do it. She's like, I know. No, that's,
I won't do it. I do the same thing with our son. I'm like, just go down here. Just go down to this place and figure it out. And he's like, I don't want to. Like, oh my gosh.
I know. That's one of my goals.
And I don't know. I think that the, I mean, I had a TV. I had video game systems too, but it was like the allure of being away from my family, I think was key, right? I was like, I want to live free or die. And I think for my kids, We have such a great relationship with our kids. They're like, no, I'll stay home.
Yeah.
And for me, I had a great relationship with my parents, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to, if I'm sitting around, they're going to tell me to do a chore.
Well, I think the FOMO nowadays is in seeing what everybody else is seeing online or on TV or playing what everybody else is playing on video games. It's not,
I think it's like, just a quick dopamine hit. Like, why give it up? Well, you're like, this makes me happy too.
Yeah. But when you knew everybody in the neighborhood was out doing stuff together and you had to be a part of it, right? It's like I remember
peeing my pants when I was in grade school because I was like, I don't want to go in and pee, I'm gonna miss something.
Yeah.
I specifically remember playing tag and like I can't go, and then I just like peed my pants and then I just sprayed myself off with a hose
because you're playing in water. It's perfect.
Yeah, everybody's like, why are you wet? I'm like, oh, so hot. That really, I just like pissed myself.
Yeah,
whoops.
Hey, good job. You're not cool. You're not cool if you don't pee your pants.
Very vulnerable here.
No, it's, well, that's the thing. Like, I'm really like, okay, so Everett, who's, you know, my younger, he's ready to go. You know, he'll go wherever, you know, which is good. So I'm letting him do a little more, but I need to hold him back just a little bit.
That's true. Actually, that's the younger kid, because Annie's the same way. She just got in trouble yesterday because she went off somewhere and didn't tell us.
Yeah. But Chloe, yeah. I'm like, okay, you can go do a few things. I'm like, I'm not driving you to school next year. We live a mile and a half away. You can ride or walk.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. You're in high school. You'll be in high school.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I'm telling Caden. I'm like, you're going to take the city bus. What do you mean? I'm like, I'm not driving you to school.
Yeah.
I got my own things.
Come on, dude. You're tall. You can do it. You're an athlete. You'll be fine. So I don't know what the deal is. I want them to not like put themselves in danger, but maybe, you know,
a little bit of danger
with some safety and parameters and, you know, learn how to think and work through situations and,
you know, all those kinds of things. After all,
I was telling Courtney about how you want us to come over and help with the roof, you know, with your roof tearing shingles off.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, not Everett. He can't, you know, like, I don't trust him up on the roof. I'm like, come on, he can get up there. And
we'll give him
like,
a harness. I got a bunch of harnesses.
Oh, you got a harness. Okay. Yeah. Maybe we'll be able to talk her into it. But she's like, he could stay down. And I was like, well, she's like, he could die if he falls off. Like, yes, but.
Nah, the rhododendrons will catch him. That's fine.
Exactly. So we might have to work on that.
We'll just leave the cover on the hot tub open in case he falls.
There you go. Weep. And then he'll drown. You know.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the, because we did obviously have like video game memories, which are obviously our kids are struggling to never not play video games. What are some of your like solid 90s video game memories?
Oh man.
Sleepovers, well, I'm assuming.
Sleepovers, hanging out. I mean, it was the Nintendo 64, I feel like, for me was when, I mean, I had a Nintendo and later I had a Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
But Nintendo 64 is when it got like, you know, really good.
It's when it got real. Like
the summer of GoldenEye was, I just remember playing all the time. Actually, I will say, you know, when I think about all the things we did and not wanting our kids to get in trouble, summer between 7th and 8th grade was my bad, like, couple of months.
Oh, yeah. You were so naughty.
I was very naughty. And because I was hanging out with these older high school kids that lived near my mom.
Whoa.
And
walking on the boardwalk by yourself.
It started out with playing basketball and video games, hanging out, and eventually evolved into getting drunk once and smoking pot a bunch throughout the summer.
So naughty, Corey.
At that time, that felt very, you know, I'll just.
So risque. Okay,
a funny side note, Courtney would tell you about this because she looks back.
She has told me
about
this.
She's told you. When we were engaged, I was like, okay, I've got to tell you something. I've got to let you know something. And she's like,
she's like, oh crap, we're going to break up.
She's like, oh crap, you're gay. And I'm like, she didn't say that, but she was thinking like I was saying like that, you know,
something very huge.
And I was like, when I was between 7th and 8th grade, I smoked pot. And she's like, oh,
I'm okay. Breaking up right now. I can't believe you.
I had to get it off my chest. I didn't know what she'd think. Cause she was pretty straight and narrow. So I was like, I don't know what she'll think.
That's funny.
So anyways.
Well, that was very vulnerable of you to do that in that moment. I remember All Night 64. You know, what's funny is these dang kids have it so good. Get off my lawn. This is a get off my lawn rant.
Okay.
So we don't have that big of a TV, but we have a big enough TV and you have a big enough TV, right?
Plenty big, yeah.
And my son has been playing games on his Xbox. He bought himself an Xbox, and he's like, can we get a nicer TV? Like, because our TV is kind of a really basic 1080p. So
it's probably
or something
not as
like
bright.
Yeah, and he's just like, I can't see anything. It's just so da-da-da. And he's just like playing FIFA. Like, it's whatever. Everything's green. And I specifically remember so many great memories of staying in my friend's fifth wheel that was parked in the back. And when we'd stay the night in the summer, a bunch of us boys would stay in that fifth wheel and like have fun and stay up really late and eat Cheetos and da-da. The only TV they had in that was a 13-inch like TV that you would have to hit real hard to get it to turn back to color because it would go black and white.
Yeah.
And we would play GoldenEye, four-player. Right. So each person got a square 13-inch TV. You got like a cell phone size, right? In the corner, and we're all crammed in here. And we would play and we could figure it out. And my son's got a full, whatever our TV is, 40 inches or something like that. And he's whining because the greens aren't green enough.
Cause you know what you know what the point was for us back then? It was being together. It was giving each other a hard time.
100%.
Goofing off, like trying to mess it all up. Like that's what it was about. It wasn't about the game. But now it's more about the game.
It was about the game. I remember getting a lot of fights about the game too.
Sure. But
I also remember our friend Bernie opening up the window and shooting. There was a girl's house right up above the house where the fifth wheel was parked, and he had a crush on her, and he would take the BB gun of my other friend and shoot her window at like 2 in the morning with the BB gun to wake her up. And it was like, wow, that is a felony now. What is happening? Like, that would totally not fly.
Oh.
But back in like 1998, he'd like tink her window and she'd open it up and we're like, cool, he saw her in her PJs or whatever it was. And
he's got to second base. okay, that totally reminds me of a dangerous thing I did in the summer when we lived in Deadwood, Oregon. When we first moved up to Oregon.
Sounds dangerous.
I had my Red Ryder BB gun. Ooh. And my neighbors had a like a pump up pellet gun.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a BB gun fight, BB gun war.
Oh,
from like across our thing. And
how'd you have your BB gun war? Did you like stand up straight against face the person?
No, we had a little divider. So we're each on our own property and we could kind of move around and hide. So I'd get behind a bush and shoot. And I remember a BB hitting in the bush and landing on, then falling down on my lap, but I never got hit. I shot one of them in the face. It was two brothers. I was going against me against them. Oh. I think they only had one gun though, but I shot one of them in the face. You know, we didn't have hats or glasses or anything to protect us. We just were moved behind things. And now when I think about that, I was like, that was probably
pretty dangerous. We had BB gun fights. And I specifically remember the BB gun fights because we would, it's like demolition derby. We'd all run around backwards. So we'd get shot in the back and we'd just like shoot each other over our shoulders because we didn't wear glasses or anything either.
So you were exercising a modicum of safety though.
I guess. And that was in a kid named Chris Collins' backyard. And his backyard was probably like 30 feet by 40 feet. And we'd all be back there. There'd be four of us just running around shooting each other with Daisy BB guns.
My son would love, would love that. He would do it if I let him. So I know I see a lot of that in him.
Actually, okay, let me ask you this. Yeah. I hope my neighbor doesn't listen to my podcast. He probably does.
Everybody does, of course.
So I'm sitting in my hot tub this morning. This is like first day of summer. I'm reading a book. I'm like sitting in the hot tub. It's so nice, thinking about my dad, doing all this stuff. The birds are out. The squirrel's like eating some nuts that we left for him. Everything's great. And my freaking neighbor comes out and starts shooting birds with a BB gun.
Birds?
I know.
Killing them or just like...
I don't know. I don't think they're dead. I don't really... I mean, whatever. You go hunt. But it's like he's... I live in a neighborhood. Like, this isn't the middle of nowhere. But I'm sitting in the hot tub, and I'm like, what is this guy doing? And he's, like, shooting birds so that they don't eat his garden.
Okay.
You cool with that?
No, I think you have, like, a rubber band. So here's what I would say. And here's why I'm not cool. Because I had my BB gun. Yeah. I remember being in second grade.
Okay.
My dad's out working on stuff, he's working on his truck or something.
Okay.
And I'm like, I want to shoot. And I look at the top of this tree.
Shot your dad?
No. Okay. Shoot my dad. There was a bird at the very top of the tree.
Okay.
And I aim, I take aim, I fire, boom, I hit it.
There's
and
a kid in there.
No, it's a bird. It's like a blue jay or something.
Just but trying to figure
I
it out.
I shoot it.
Okay.
And it flies like kind of lamely, like one wing down onto the roof of the house. And I'm like, oh shoot. And so, I go and tell my dad because I'm like, that was an awesome shot. And it was a really good shot.
Yeah.
I'm like, Dad, I shot this bird and da da da. And he's like, my dad got pissed. He was like, did you kill it? Like, I was like, well, no, it had, you know, and then he's like, and then he just got on me, not like basically just saying like, you do not.
Don't leave something maimed.
You don't shoot animals just for fun. Like, you shoot something to hunt, for food, not just for sport. Like, and then he kind of made me feel really bad. He's like, that thing's going to like suffer and da 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 and have this long
good
death.
Job,
and so forever since then, it's been ingrained in me. I do not like killing things. I do not like it. There was a mouse in this office that we're sitting in right now last night. And I left the kittens in here to try to deal with it.
Uh-huh.
And they trapped it and then kind of played with it. And so finally I came in and took it and let it go outside. Because I'm like, you guys.
Cats are masochists.
You guys failed. And I'm not going to leave it in here. And I'm not going to kill it myself because I can't do it. So I put it out. Anyways, all that to say, so I'm not cool with shooting birds. You know, if you had something that was light enough powered that it would not injure them, like a Nerf gun or something, and it would do the job. I did shoot a squirrel in the tail.
You can just spray him with water. I mean, come on.
I did shoot a squirrel on that light pole in the tail with that same BB gun because Nala was going crazy and it was driving nuts.
Monster.
I was far enough away.
What if you hit the power line and cut the power to all this
with a BB?
And then somebody was on life support.
Yeah.
For a squirrel.
I'd feel bad. But I'm a good shot, and I shot it right in the tail, and did the job. So
you probably just hit its hair.
But let's we've been talking about negative, dangerous things. Let's talk about one. Let's finish with some fun stuff.
Fun, dangerous
summer,
things?
Summer snacks and summer treats of our childhood. So not currently, but when you think back, what was like your quintessential –
Kool-Aid.
Childhood. Yes.
Lots of Kool-Aid.
What flavor?
My mom was a, we had red cherry a lot.
Okay. We had a plethora of grape okay. Kool-Aid because when I was real little, my dad was a truck driver.
Grape, and he, yeah.
And somehow he ended up with like a cases of grape Kool-Aid. So we never bought Kool-Aid.
Oh, shoot. So you guys just had literally thousands of packets of grape Kool-Aid.
Grape Kool-Aid forever. Only grape.
Whoa.
I desired.
Somehow you finangled a like corporate box of.
Well, because they would get stuff like that, you sure. know. But I desired to have other flavors. I'm like, can we get some other flavors? No, we've got,
yeah, you got
plenty
that.
Of this.
Which is so funny because a packet of Kool-Aid it's back like then
20
was
20
like,
cents, 10 cents.
No, it was like a dime. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 10 cents. So we had much Kool-Aid as well.
Mm.
I think watermelon, you know, I always okay. loved watermelon as a kid.
Sure. I can't eat watermelon.
Oh, yeah. You're
I mean, allergic. I do, but I'm not supposed to.
What about like, Otter Pops?
Yeah, we did. My mom would make, she would make like lemonade. You remember those like preform like popsicle things?
Yes.
I feel like every family had those in the 80s and 90s. It's not like a thing anymore, but it was like a plastic.
It is a thing.
Oh, it is?
People still do it.
Oh, okay. It's like a plastic mold, right? And then it had another plastic mold to, anyway. And she would just get the lemonade and the kind of like the tin cans, like yeah, it had yeah, tin yeah. on the sides and paper.
The concentrate kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah. So we would have lemonade popsicles Ooh. A lot. And then that, I guess that would be like my standard meal, watching Oprah because nothing else was on.
Oprah's on.
Eating a lemonade popsicle and then saltines with American cheese slices.
Yes.
Okay. Was my standard, like, yep. that was my go-to snack. We never had chips growing up. Like yeah, my family didn't eat chips and salsa. That wasn't a thing.
We didn't have a lot because it was like we just were poor. So I would make my own popsicles by using ice cube trays and Kool-Aid put plastic wrap and then toothpicks.
Oh, smart. Oh, look at you.
That was our popsicles most
yeah,
of the
that's
time.
A good, or that's we, a good
my
popsicle.
Dad liked to get the twin pops, you know, the cheap twin pops.
You know what Annie has right now, which is kind of fun. I bought these. I bought one Death Star circle ice cube mold.
Yeah.
And it accidentally came with two. So I have two Death Star ice cream molds and Annie will make popsicles. it's a circle. Popsicles. And she hasn't thought to put in a stick, which she should now. No, I'm going to tell her. She just like will pop off one of the molds and just like lick it like it's a jawbreaker.
That sounds like a little
it gets
girl
everywhere.
Thing to do.
Yeah.
Did you ever have the ice cream man? Did the ice cream man come where you were?
Yeah.
So what was your, you mean, I think every ice cream man had the same ice cream things.
Oh, yeah.
What did you
We had like
for?
The Good Humor. I would usually try to get the Choco Taco was like a, yeah. that was a big one. I got one of those at least once a summer.
When you were real old, did you have like the Hulk Hogan or wrestler ones? Did they have those? You
know, I don't remember those. I remember like the cartoon characters. There was always like Nickelodeon characters.
Like
that you
the
could
gumballs
get.
On
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like the eye. I do remember the ice cream man in Cresswell was pretty sketch. Like it was an old Dodge.
Of course.
But it wasn't like a cool ice cream truck. You know, like ice cream trucks have like the window and the sliding door. It's like an old mail truck kind of thing. This one was just a straight up Dodge Ram with the door ripped off.
Okay.
You know, the sliding door. And it had no windows. So then they just had like freezers, probably like in a generator or something like that. And they were sketchy people. Really sketchy. And I specifically remember one time, like the ice cream man would pull up to our cul-de-sac, kids would just like flood it.
Of course.
Right? And then he's just like trying to get orders and sling it out. And my friend Sam Carpenter had this like Mortal Kombat ninja mask. So it was like, it would black your face out and it was a purple hood. And so you couldn't see the person's face, but they could see you, right?
Yeah.
And Sam was like, I don't have any money. And the guy's like, well, what do you have to trade? And we were like playing ninjas or something. He's like, I got this mask. And the guy who had like tattoos crawling up everywhere, no judgment, went to his like buddy who was sitting in the passenger seat, like playing a Game Boy, like literally playing a Game Boy. He's like, yo, you want this mask for later? And he's like, yeah, that's great. And so Sam got two ice creams for the mask. And now thinking as an adult, I'm like, those freaking guys used it for a robbery.
I was going to say, like, he's an accomplice.
I know, these like ninjas in a purple
Dude.
Halloween mask.
Dude, you want this mask? Yeah, we'll use that later.
Yeah, we're
okay?
going to use it when we go scope out some neighborhoods later. Now, actually, I'm thinking about it, they probably wanted to be ice cream men so they could scope out neighborhoods.
I mean, was there anything more anxiety-inducing, though, than the first few notes of the ice cream man coming in your neighborhood?
Oh, yeah, because you had to, like, you had such little time to convince your mom to give you a dollar.
Because you're like, unless everybody, I mean, obviously, if a big crowd stops it, you've got a little time, but you got to run home as fast as you can. Oh, yeah. Mom, dad, get ice cream. And you can't even, like, I just remember, I don't even think I could function. And I just was like, ice cream man. And they're like, what? Hold on. I'm like, it's the ice cream man. Can I have some money? And yeah. they're like, well, I don't know. And they just take their time. And you're like, yeah. Come on, it's gonna go away.
They'd be like, give me something. You know what? I don't think I had that kind of anxiety because I think our ice cream man came around pretty frequently during the summer. However, I will say, going back to another fun story with my dad would come home from work, and my dad was addicted to Coke, not the drug, but the drink. And
I can connect with
he would come home and like he would just rush home. He was awesome. He just like work would end at 5:30 and he would just blast home. That was so awesome. And anyway, he would come home and then we'd like eat dinner and he's like, I need a Coke really bad. But my dad left to move. And so instead of driving there, he would walk to Dairy Mart, which was like 6 blocks away or something like that. And my dad would like rally the neighborhood kids. And like, it was such a great summer memory. It'd be like 89 degrees at 8 o'clock at night. You know, the sun is still kind of up. And like, everybody would ask their parents for some money. They'd be like, Dennis is going to Dairy Mart. Can we go? Can I go? And so my dad seriously would rally like 12 kids to who he was like the Pied Piper. And then we just walked the 6 blocks and we're all like throwing rocks and kicking rocks. And my dad's like, creating these competitions, like who can run to the stop sign and come back and give me a high five. And then he'd buy everybody ice cream, or they would, you know, their parents. So that was always super fun. So I think that the ice cream man was not as big a deal for me because my dad was like the ice cream man and like would, that was so cool.
That is super. That makes me, that inspires me. I want to do that with some of our, we've got like 4 or 5 kids.
You should. That play. It's actually, it's kind of cute. Like when I posted like the memorial on Facebook, there were like some old neighborhood kids who I have not talked to in 25 years or longer who popped up onto Facebook and was like, oh my gosh, your dad was so awesome. He used to take us to Dairy Mart and like have fun. We'd sit on the newspaper boxes. And anyway, that was really cool.
That's, I will say that is rad.
Yes. It was a rad high school or a rad summer memory.
Yeah. I think our ice cream truck when I was real young came like, I feel like, I mean, it probably came like every other day, but it seemed like it came like once a week or something is what it felt like at that time.
Sure. You
know? So when you heard it, it was like, oh man, it's on. And you had to go.
You know, do you have an ice cream man around here? Speaking of like how things have changed, like we have not, I can only think of like twice. We've lived in our house for 6 years now. Yeah. I can think of twice that the ice cream man's rolled around.
I feel like the last couple summers, it's maybe like, it seems like it's every couple weeks or maybe once a week. Or right. I do hear it sometimes, but it seems a little sketchy. But Everett, of course, gets like so pumped. I'm like, but we're like, we'll buy ice cream. You know, like you're gonna pay $5. We can get a whole box, but
that's probably what a lot of parents
are
saying.
It's the ice cream man. It's exciting. So, well, I don't know. I mean, I guess yeah. So all that to say,
kids just DoorDash ice cream to their
exactly. house. Well, my kids, Everett, I think hungers for like that like stuff. So I want him to have some of those experiences. So I think that's my, to wrap it all up on the summer stuff. I think for now, I think my goal is to help my kids have some of those summer experiences, which I realize put some pressure on myself. Like just hearing that story about your dad, I'm like, I have to take the lead a couple times and kind of show them the way, model for them what it looks like to walk down. But we're like, Courtney and I have talked about, let's send them down to Albertsons to get a gallon of milk for us, or a half gallon of milk. You know, give them some little chores and things, and they can get a candy or something.
Sure. Yeah, so we've done that a couple times with our Albertsons too.
We haven't done that much, but we want to do that a bit. And, you know, so, and then I would like to do some of those things. We've talked about getting, just doing stuff with our neighborhoods more and being more out there and stuff. So I want to work on that a little bit. No, that's fun. Well, obviously we're just at the beginning of summer, so we'll be able to report back on some of our adventures. You and I will probably have some adventures, I think, you know, maybe including going and seeing Grateful Dead cover bands and watching people dance in some really fun ways and some other things. I'm hoping.
Got to join them this time.
I'm kind of motivated even just because of our podcast. Like, we got to find some weird, funny things to do.
Now we got to find something to talk about.
Some adventures, you know. Mm. So we got to get into trouble.
We got to be a little more interesting.
Yeah, we got to get into trouble ourselves, just like the Sandlot kids.
Yeah, we could. Trouble for adult looks a lot different than kids, though, Cor. What do you want to do? You want to hijack a train? go cut some stop signs down?
Okay, maybe not like trouble. Maybe like let's get in some awkward situations.
Okay.
Let's get in some quirky. Let's have some quirky adventures. How about that?
I would love it.
Speaking of quirky,
okay,
to kick off our summer a little bit, you know, an idea that I had that I thought would be really fun would be to, I don't know what made me think of it, but I was thinking about AI and yes, ChatGPT and some of those things.
Artificial intelligence.
And how fun it would be.
If you were going to name one, what would you name it?
Barry.
That's a good one.
Barry.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Barry. What do you want? What do you want me to do? Hey, yo, I'm Barry. And yeah, just hit me up with your requests and I'll do something for you, okay?
Yo, what you got? Tell me what you got. That'd be good. You got like a downtown New York kind of action. Right. I like that. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I think mine would be named like Jennifer. Like I would want to name it something basic that mm-hmm. would make Jennifer's just real mad. You know, the only reason I say that, just to be kind of like just a little bit mean, I had a student named Alexa in school, and she was the sweetest kid, the absolute sweetest kid, and her life was ruined.
Yeah.
Her life was absolutely over.
Alexa.
And it was like, I mean, she was Alexa 8 years before Alexa came out, but then she just, I also, sad story, had a girl named Isis.
Mm. Yeah, that's a random one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like kind of a flower kind of thing, right?
Iris? Not ice. I don't know what I don't know if ISIS is.
I don't know, but it became a bad word.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Poor girl had to, she changed her name to Rebecca.
Oh, that's probably smart.
Or just went by Rebecca. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, all that to say.
Those are all fake
I
names.
I thought it would be fun to try something and go, what if we had, because not maybe most of the people who listen probably know that you and I, early in our friendship and work days, had a band.
Yeah, we did.
Called Fanny Pack.
Mm.
And, we changed it to Fanny Pack, the band, because it was another band called Fanny Pack.
We were the number one comedy duo on MySpace.
In Oregon or something like that. Yeah. Yep. Out of one, probably.
Yeah. Well, it was MySpace days.
We did have some songs that had like 40,000 listens and stuff. We weren't too shabby. But we made songs at that time to promote, you know, campus life things and all that stuff.
Sure.
And then I thought it'd be fun if we did a song, like just had it write us a song and then had the lyrics and then we could make the chords and sing it and kind of fill in the gaps. So
yeah.
So for our listeners, we did take a little time and we put in some parameters or some mm-hmm. things to write a song about two best friends who are named Number Five. And we probably need to give context to that
We don't.
Yes, we do.
No, just let it sit. Just let it sit.
No, come on. It's a quick explanation of why we call it.
Well, not anymore because we've been talking about it for so long.
Well, okay, it's a slightly longer conversation.
Okay, fine. Go for it.
So back in the day, this is another throwback, we used to have phones that you had speed dial on.
That had actual buttons.
Yeah, and so our cell phones, both Colin and I, we acknowledged that we were not each other's best friend.
No.
Because we were good friends, but we each had our own best friends.
Yes.
And then we each had our significant others.
It was during the MySpace top 8 days, yes, is really what it was.
And we're like, okay, let's just make each other number five on our speed dial for each other. Because
unbeknownst to each other.
Yeah. And so that ended up being a thing. We both made each other number five. And so we started calling each other forever. Hey, number five. Yes, what's
we were
up,
very
five?
Excited that we both selected number five for each other.
Yeah. And we had some times.
Now it's our pet name.
That's right. And we had some times where we lived apart and we wrote songs to each other.
As number five.
As number five. And so I thought, well, let's have ChatGPT write a number five melody, an anthem, if you will. Mm. And let's do it. So we're going to take some time right now. I'm going to get my guitar out, and we are going to play this song for you all.
I'm so excited to sing alongside you once again.
And this is gonna wrap up our time in this episode. So thanks, everybody, and yeah.
All right, ready?
Here we go.
Yep.
In a world so vast, the stories unfold. With two best friends, their hearts made of gold. And side by side, through thick and through thin, their names were both number five, a bond hard to break in. Number five and number five, forever intertwined. Their friendship's a melody, a love undefined. Through laughter and tears, they'll conquer it all. Number five and number five, they'll never let each other for. From the very first day, they knew they were meant. Destinies designed their paths, but both bent. They shared their dreams, their secrets, their fears. Two souls united through the passage of years. Number five and number five, forever intertwined. Their friendship's a melody, a love undefined. Through laughter and tears, they'll conquer it all. Number five and number five, they'll never let each other fall. To highs, highs, and lows. Like stars in the night, their love brightly glows. With every step they take, they light up the way. In the symphony of friendship, they will always stay. In times of darkness, they became each other's light, guiding one another even in the darkest night. Through storms and battles, their spirits won't cease. For number five and number five, together there's peace. In this tale of friendship, where love takes a stand. Number five and number five, a testament so grand. Their heartbeat is one, a bond that won't end. Forever and always, they'll be best friends. Forever intertwined, their friendship's melody, love undefined. Through laughter and tears, they'll conquer it all. Number five, number five, they'll never let each other fall. Their hearts beat as one, a bond that won't end. Forever and always, they'll be.
Colin, I love you.
I love you, Corey.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Mm.
Most interesting men in the world. We out.
Okay.